the nation's poverty rate is rising. The latest figures just released this hour show that 39.8 million people are below the official poverty line, and there are millions more just above that income level who are still struggling to get by, as we're going to hear this morning. The 2008 poverty rate stood at 13.2%. which is a bit higher and, in fact, the highest poverty rate in 10 years. The government measures poverty the same way it did more than 40 years ago, though, and some experts think that's a problem. They think it gives us an inaccurate picture, NPR's Pam Fessler reports.
It's not easy trying to define who is or isn't poor. Take Sandra Collette, a divorced mother of two who lives in Harlem.
When you're in a crisis with your family and you don't have the financial means to resolve that, I call that poverty.
She's walking home from a job she recently got at a foster care agency. It pays $29,000, which puts her well above the federal poverty line. But Collette, a very upbeat New Yorker, is still struggling. In fact, she isn't doing all that much better than when she was unemployed and eligible for more government benefits.
You know, you get the job and it's like, oh boy, breathing room. And so I said to myself, well, you know, it's still tight. It ain't tight.
Collette lives in one of the most expensive cities in the world, but the federal poverty measure doesn't take that into account. It's the same whether you're in New York or North Dakota. Collette lives in a two-bedroom apartment where her rent is subsidized. She pays $600 a month. The going rate is more than twice that amount.
I think it's about 56 apartments in here. Mixed income. Watch yourself.
She isn't considered poor by federal standards, in part because the poverty line was created back in the 1960s. At the time, Americans spent about a third of their income on food. So the government simply took the cost of a basic food plan and multiplied it by three. Since then, the poverty line's been adjusted for inflation. But that's it. Even though Americans today spend far less of their income on food and far more on other things, such as health care.
We quickly realized that we needed a more up-to-date and accurate measure.
Linda Gibbs is New York City's deputy mayor for Health and Human Services. She says the aha moment came when the city found a new way to help low-income residents take advantage of something called the Earned Income Tax Credit, a significant benefit for the poor.
And so the mayor is very excited. This is great. How much is this going to reduce poverty? And I had to say, well, not at all. Because the earned income tax credit as a tax refund is not counted in the income in a household.
That's because the official poverty rate only looks at income before taxes. So New York City decided to do what many experts are pushing the federal government to do, change the way it measures poverty to better reflect today's world. Let's go back to Sandra Collette.
Okay, so where are you? Where's your brother? All right, bye-bye. Okay, they are with their friends, and they're not coming back. They're in Midtown.
Collette uses her cell phone to keep track of her 16- and 14-year-old sons. For her, a cell phone's a necessity, and New York agrees. It includes the cost of phones, as well as other utilities, in calculating its poverty line. It also includes basic housing, food, and clothing costs. It then compares that amount to a family's after-tax income, plus the value of any government benefits such as food stamps. Then it subtracts medical costs. Sandra Collette checks her records to see how much is taken from her paycheck for premiums.
Here it is, $72.11 for dental and $190.32 for health.
Almost $7,000 a year, in addition to other out-of-pocket health costs. Collette doesn't pay to commute. She walks to work. But commuting and other work-related expenses are also taken into account in New York's poverty measure, which makes a lot of sense to Tony Santiago, a single mother of three.
This is exactly what Friday traffic is like.
Santiago drives between her Manhattan job and her Brooklyn home. Right now, she's stuck in a backup on the FDR drive. The commute takes a slice out of her paycheck.
If I just go straight to work and straight home, I spend about $60 a week. So $240, round it up to like $250 a month in gas alone.
She drives because her children get free daycare right near her job. She used to pay more than $150 a week. Childcare is another expense New York looks at in determining poverty. Santiago's $36,000 salary puts her well above the federal poverty line, $22,000 for a family of four. Still, she just filed for bankruptcy, so she doesn't understand why she isn't considered poor. Someone on the roof of Santiago's building in Brooklyn is throwing water balloons at the children playing below on a hot summer day. Inside, the elevator smells faintly of urine. Santiago and her children, ages 7, 10, and 16, share a two-bedroom apartment. The rooms here are dark and sparsely furnished, but paying just $800 a month rent helps Santiago to make ends meet.
I consider myself to be poor because once I pay rent, then I come home, I have to pay bills. I mean, I don't have like the little luxury amenities as far as like washer, dryer. Even though it sounds minor, it all adds up.
It's not a measure that tells you nothing, but it answers only a limited set of questions.
Rebecca Blank is Undersecretary for Economic Affairs at the Commerce Department, which produces the poverty rate. She says it shows how job-related income fluctuates, important in a recession.
What this won't show you, which is quite important, is the extent to which federal programs might buffer the loss of cash income. So some people who lose their job are going to get more food stamps income. Some of them are going to be able to claim more earned income tax credit income.
She says her agency is trying to find better ways to analyze how those programs affect poverty, but Blank doesn't expect the official measure to go away anytime soon. It's used to determine eligibility for programs such as Medicaid, and changing it is not only complicated but political. There are bound to be winners and losers. New York's alternative, for example, produced a lower poverty rate for single-parent families with children and a higher rate for the elderly.
There's a big constituency now for inertia on this thing.
Nicholas Eberstadt is a researcher at the American Enterprise Institute. He says everyone wants to know how changing the formula affects them. As a result, most of the proposals to update the measure, at least initially, would not affect eligibility for programs, but would be used instead, as in New York, to help shape policy. Eberstadt thinks something needs to be done soon.
I'm very worried that our existing poverty rate is a broken compass, and it's just going to misguide us. And now, of all times, while we're in the middle of a big global economic crisis, we need to have good instrumentation to inform us about who's in need.
Sandra Collette of Harlem couldn't agree more.
I'm so confused about what's poor and what's not poor. You know, and I have to keep going back and saying, if you knew your basics were covered, maybe I wouldn't consider myself to be poor.
But she knows for her and many others, they're not covered, no matter what the official numbers say. Pam Fessler, NPR News.